This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So this week on the PowerCast, we are celebrating Halloween weekend. And the reason we're celebrating the weekend and not the day is because Halloween was on a Friday, the show is being heard on a Sunday, so we are magnanimous people here, and we're doing it for the entire weekend. Now, Chris O'Brien is on assignment somewhere in New York, and he's having problems getting Skype to work on his iPhone. Now, if he does get it to work, we'll hear from him later, otherwise we'll figure it out. Evidently, it might be a problem with this infamous iOS 8, the latest software from Apple, and he probably just needs to update it. It's complicated. I don't want to get into technology stuff here. If you want to hear my rantings on technology, we have another radio show called Tech Night Owl Live. And you can hear all that stuff there, and we have all the experts, and we answer everything. So instead of Chris, our guest co-host is one of our forum moderators, Gogs Mackay. Gogs.
Hey, Gene. Yeah, good to be here. Always glad to help out. Shame Chris can't be here so far, but, you know, maybe he'll check in a bit later. And good to be talking to Micah again.
So we have Micah Hanks, and this is kind of our Halloween weekend show, as I've said. And Micah, of course, has an interesting icon or avatar on Skype. It's a green alien because he, of course, has this site called the Graylian Report. Micah, thank you for joining us kind of at short notice here. And I assume you have great Halloween stories to present to us?
I always have great stories, I hope, to be able to present for you guys here on the Paracast. Glad to be here, by the way, whether it's short notice or long term, just glad to be able to be in here joining you guys on this show.
Well, I know lately you've been doing a lot of work to improve your website. It does seem to run much faster there.
Does it not? I hope you don't mind me going ahead and just saying that you know, you've been instrumental in helping me to migrate. I'd had numerous site difficulties, which, funny enough, around the time of October, every year starts happening. But I've got a good feeling that next year it's not going to be the case because I've migrated the Graylian Report, my personal site, my Middle Theory website. They're all over on the Namecheap servers. Very happily so, proudly so, and thank you, Gene Steinberg, for all your help with that. That's been a really a much less stressful experience of migrating those sites than I thought it would be. And of course, you know, your help's been instrumental in all that. So, good times.
Thank you very much. I think the person who has to be thanked there is Namecheap's web hosting guru, a guy named Matt Russell from the UK, and he has things organized really well there. That's why we were able to get this thing done in record time. And the only thing I will say in criticism is watch out for web hosts that are owned by Endurance International Group. If you do the Wikipedia, you'll find they own like several dozen very famous brand names of web hosts. And unfortunately, what happens is they buy the brand, they move it to a new low-cost data center, and service goes down the tubes. They're never going to advertise with us. So I am very happy not to recommend them, but certainly happy to recommend our partner, Namecheap. Anyway, Halloween. Now, we so much, Micah, talk about UFOs on this show, and sometimes we're criticized for that. In fact, somebody just the other day said, why do you call it the Paracast? Because obviously it's a combination of paranormal and cast for broadcast when you're doing so many things about UFOs. But don't you think, Micah, that a lot of these crazy mysteries are quite often intertwined?
Maybe they are, Gene. And I'll say in your defense in the past, and as I have to say every time I come on this show, I don't want to make it sound like an infomercial. I'm being honest. I mean, the Paracast is one of the few shows that I listen to regularly. And the reason being is because I think it's very content rich and the guests are people who are knowledgeable. You guys do what a lot of shows don't do. You get a lot of skeptics on the program just as well. You've had Ben Radford, you know, of course, Robert Schaefer, who I've been in contact with following his appearance here on the show. And so I think that's really conducive to actually getting people in the community, skeptics and believers alike, talking. And not many shows do that. And you've also had Lloyd Auerbach on the program in the past, who, of course, is very much the psychic researcher and, of course, paranormal investigator, and one who brings an academic background to it just as well, in addition to a love for chocolate. But I think that, yeah.
A love for chocolate.
Did you know that, did you know about this? Lloyd Auerbach wrote a book, I believe, called Haunted by Chocolate. In addition to everything that he does with regard to his interest in the unexplained, he also, I believe, does, or at least for a while, was doing chocolate taste testings and wrote this book about it. And so that's kind of something that he's taken interest in is, you know, the culinary aspect of the haunted genre.
Well, you know, I was thinking when it comes to things like candy and such, the movie Ghostbusters, where they had this Stay Puft marshmallow that was like 90 feet tall walking around the streets of New York. And that's what I think about. I don't think about paranormal chocolate. But you see, all I know is Snickers and Hershey's and stuff like that. I know nothing about chocolate.
Well, you know, I'm not exactly an expert, although I do prefer, you know, quality dark chocolate and every now and then the varieties that incorporate a little sea salt. If you live in a town like Asheville, like I do, there are both a lot of history of haunting as well as a very rich culinary environment. So I guess you get into a lot of that sort of stuff. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, I think that there are a lot of connections between these kind of things. And if we had to connect chocolate to what we're talking about today, come on, Halloween candy, right?
Okay, I'll buy that. But let's look at the ghost angle here. So as a practical matter, and this is the silliest question of all, can we connect ghosts to UFOs?
You know, I wrote an article in Fate magazine years ago that was called Ghostly Receptors, I believe. And I think that they've actually put it back up on their website now at fatemag.com. You know, again, I think with time, if you're a serious researcher, your attitudes and opinions change, as mine certainly have. And so I don't know that I would endorse all those theories. But what I wrote in that article a few years ago had been that we seem to observe, at least based on the anecdotal information pertaining to UFO eyewitness reports, certain phenomena, maybe we'd call them transient phenomena, I guess that could be compared and contrasted at times with what are reported traditionally in ghostly phenomena. Now, I can say that term more comfortably in relation to ghosts because, again, traditionally, I mean, there really is a tradition of ghosts. This is something that has almost been an archetypal element. The perception of a deceased individual appearing from what we would perceive as beyond the grave or the afterlife. Virtually all cultures account for this. It's in all world traditions, and it's something that's been with us for a long time. Now, people may assert the very same thing about UFOs, and even very respectable researchers, the likes of Jacques Vallée, have made the case that a lot of fairy folklore, a lot of religious themes from around the world, and religious writings do seem to describe things which, compared to today, are very reminiscent of UFOs. So you might make the same argument that there's a tradition of UFOs throughout human culture and history just as well. But I like to kind of break that apart a bit, because while we could certainly interpret it that way, I think Vallée and others who have made that very point would argue all the same that through the cultural lens that we have, the technological lens that we have available to us today, it's very easy to look back and perceive things relative to, you know, the innovations and technologies afforded us in this information age, whereas it may not indeed be an accurate interpretation of those things that it may have existed in ancient times. So we definitely have a tradition of ghosts, I think, and that has remained consistent. We could interpret certain aspects of the ancient world as being ufological in nature. We don't really know that we can with 100% assert that that is the case. And what we know about all of this is really it all may be something entirely removed from what it appears to be. For, you know, for one, can we say that a ghost is a spirit of a dead person any more than we can say a UFO is an actual alien spacecraft? All these phenomena may be something else. And again, to come back to Vallée, who's argued over the years that we may be dealing with some kind of a transdimensional intelligence or other kind of an intelligence that is seeking to actually orient itself with in relation to humankind within the capacity of there being a control mechanism that actually affects us and perhaps even helps us adapt and evolve. For all we know, indeed, the kind of ghostly or apparitional forms that we see both in the world of hauntings and also in ufology could be very similar in the sense that they could be something that is rooted within the kind of interrelationship between space-time materiality and human consciousness.
Okay, so we go back to the core question here. We believe, or most people who believe in ghosts believe, that these are spirits of the dead. It's your dead Uncle Harry that's coming back to complete some unfinished business. Or it's the person who died in the house 100 years ago, but keeps coming back for various and sundry purposes. This gets to be crazy. Because this is the Halloween weekend episode. We have Gogs Mackay, our friendly forum moderator and a guest co-host this week. And Micah Hanks, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're starting to build a collection of the Paracast stingers. Chris is the originator. Nick Redfern does a great one. Nick Redfern, of course, sounds like the Shadow doing the Paracast. We've had people like Richard Dolan doing it, Bryce Zabel. So Micah Hanks joins that exalted crew, and next time we'll give Goggs a chance in a typical way from the other side of the pond as they go. Okay, so we're talking here about the common image of ghosts being the spirits of the dead. And is that just a convenient thing, or are ghosts basically manifesting themselves in a way that is not what they really look like, but what we think they look like?
Okay, yeah, I was going to say that just quickly coming back to the last question about is there any connection between ghosts and UFOs? Well, I do seem to be aware of a few cases of possibly alien abduction, and there seems to be additional high strange aspects going on with multiple paranormal events. Whether they're all connected or not, who really knows? But I suppose you have the idea of just even a nighttime visitation of anything. And we all know from the kind of sleep paralysis idea of the past of, you know, the hag on the chest, and but basically various kinds of devilish, ghoulish entities coming to people when they're kind of at their most vulnerable, in bed at night, half asleep, whatever. Some people think alien abduction is just an extension of the same idea, and it's not really ETs from, you know, another planet. The more time passes that I'm interested in these kind of subjects, I'm definitely leaning towards the idea that there might be one or very few overall paranormal forces, if you like, that manifest in different ways. Because I find it harder to believe that there is aliens from another planet. There's other kinds of aliens. There's ghosts. There are demons. There are this. There are that. There are all the things going on in Skinwalker Ranch. There are hauntings. I find it hard to believe that there are so many completely distinct paranormal happenings. That's if they do exist. But from whatever the source, to me it's amazing there's just such a huge variety of things going on. So just for my simple brain, it's easier to imagine that they're all coming from very few sources, but just manifest in different ways. I don't really have any proof of that, other than to me it's illogical to think that there are a million different things going on with a million different sources. So ghosts and UFOs, yes, to me there is a link, but it's not maybe a causal link, but there does seem to be, to me, there has to be something behind all these things, if true, and there has to be a link, at least if you go further back, maybe not right at the forefront of, is there a link between ghosts and an alien or UFOs, but going back a few steps, kind of, I think there would have to be. And I think it was really cases like Skinwalker Ranch, and there are a few others, but there are, where there seem to be multiple types of events going on. And I just can't believe that these places, these hotspots, portal areas, whatever you want to call them, I cannot believe that they're just Grand Central Station for completely distinct paranormal events. I really think there has to be something linking it all.
Michael, you want to chime in?
I'd love to, yeah. As a matter of fact, actually, building off of what Goggs says, because I agree, for the most part with that. And good observations there, Goggs. I think that, and again, this is entirely speculative, and as much as any discussion of paranormal phenomena, I think that people of the mainstream academic mind would look at something like this and say, okay, but that's still not of any merit because it's speculative. But again, physicists speculate, and speculative physics has actually been the foundation for parts of our understanding of the universe, especially when we utilize placeholders, the likes of dark matter and things like this, to kind of, describe what we cannot perceive fully about the universe, and yet the observable effects of which we certainly can observe. So In speculating and stating it as such, I think that it's very possible that, and I think that both philosophy and certain aspects of our modern physics are pointing more and more in the direction of the universe itself kind of being an informational matrix, a lattice of sorts, that human consciousness or any kind of a conscious perception is capable of interacting with. And if that were the case, based on the laws of the universe, one interesting observation that we can make is that Stephen Hawking, love him or hate him, as he said in A Brief History of Time, he noted that, well, actually, he poses it first as a question. Why can we remember the past, but we don't remember what occurs in the future? And I've used this argument in relation to UFOs before, but really it works maybe even better with regard to the classical idea of a haunting. When we perceive a ghost, traditionally what is perceived is some aspect, what appears to be apparitional, that is apart from the physical body of an individual, i.e. they are deceased, that seems to linger into the present, and a person in the here and now can see an individual who may be long dead, but they appear before them in a sort of transient apparitional form. Now, Hawking had talked toward the end of his book about the arrow of time, specifically the thermodynamic arrow of time. And he believes that if indeed there was a big bang and the universe is outwardly expanding, ever outward, it is a response to this initial formation of the universe that occurred at the time of this big bang that physicists theorize about. That essentially we remember the past and not the future, because the way that our minds have evolved to be oriented in relation to space and time, we remember and we perceive space and time in the same way or direction thermodynamically in which entropy increases. And so the argument that, and you can read more about that in his book, but the argument that Hawking would make is that literally thermodynamic laws allow for us, and in relation to the way that the brain works in relation to the force we recognize as entropy, we can literally remember the past, but we don't remember the future because of thermodynamic laws. Now, if that's the case, it might stand to reason that what people perceive as being apparitional forms, much like a memory of the past that one might have, these are also, in terms of what we understand about physics, at least in keeping with the idea that aspects of the past could be related, but maybe not the future. Now, it becomes a much more different and perhaps perplexing argument when we start talking about premonition, psychic phenomenon, and what some have actually theorized, which is that UFOs may actually be apparitional forms emanating from the future. That, again, is entirely speculative, and we could go down that road, but for the case of noting that maybe while not all people can perceive premonitions of the future, many believe that they can, maybe some actually do, we do all have memory. We do all remember things that have happened in the past. And if there is some sort of a thermodynamic orientation between consciousness, the human brain, and space-time that allows for that, maybe it allows for the apparitional forms to appear from time to time, too.
Let's look, of course, at the reality of this. And that is, as you say, the way the laws of physics go, we can perceive the past, remember the past, but we can't see into the future. Of course, that has a lot of complications, and there are some people who claim to be able to see the future. Let's talk about that. We have Micah Hanks from the Graylian Report joining us with Gene and our guest co-host this week, Gogs Mackay. You're in
the podcast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Thank you. This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, a natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules. Now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body. Normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just the ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126 serving three square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale priced at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guys Fall Chili Special. Always free shipping to lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the Fall Chili Special and three square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze dried and dehydrated foods available for long term storage, period.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Giving a continental flair to the Paracast, we have Gogs Mackay. We're talking to Micah Hanks. Of course, Chris O'Brien's on special assignment in New York, and he's having all sorts of difficulty getting Skype to work on iPhone 5S. It's not downloading fully. And it's become very frustrating. If Chris can fix it, we'll talk to him later. Otherwise, we'll just continue as we go. All right. So, Micah, we can remember events in the past, but some people claim to see the future. Are they really seeing the future? Do they imagine it? What?
To be honest, and this may anger a lot of psychics, but I think that a lot of people are imagining those things. I don't think that all people are imagining premonitions of the future. I mean, I personally am not a person who claims to be psychic, but I have certainly had what I would call premonitions, or maybe I feel more comfortable referring to them kind of in the Jungian sense as synchronicities, a meaningful coincidence where an idea or a thought comes to mind and it seems to have a direct relationship with a future event. So in terms of the idea of the meaningful coincidence, of course, Jung coined that term synchronicity, but it was expounded upon very brilliantly, I think, by the late Arthur Koestler in his book, The Roots of Coincidence, which is really, I think, one of the best scientific or academic examinations of purported paranormal and psychic phenomena. Now, Koestler, of course, was best known for being a novelist. He wrote Darkness at Noon, and of course, he was a political commentator. He was actually somewhat criticized, not only by his, people, his peers throughout his life, but even, I think, his biographer, Dr. Michael Scammell, kind of in that extensive biography about Kessler. He kind of played down the fact that later in his life, Arthur Kessler, or Kessler as it would have been pronounced in the German, he was actively involved in parapsychological research. So one of the greatest political minds of the 20th century, actually at the time of his death, it was a mutual suicide pact between he and his wife. He actually left his estate for the foundation of what became, I believe, and God, you may know more about this. I believe it's in Scotland, but it's not there someplace in Europe. It's the Kessler Parapsychological Unit that was founded. And actually is still maintained today, much like the Ryan Center here in North Carolina, where I live. And so it's very interesting that, yet again, when we examine Kessler's approach to studying the roots of coincidence, you know, again, there seems to be a physical component that can be attributed to what some people, I do believe, Gene, actually experience as premonitions or meaningful coincidences that seem to orient themselves with the present day right here in this moment mind and future events. And I certainly don't rule out the possibility that some people experience that, and some people are quite good at it. In other words, they are what we would call psychics. But I think that the majority of people who claim to be probably are believing their own hype and buying into that a little too heavily. And I think that there are people who can do that, who have actually made successful careers out of believing their own hype, or at very least pulling the wool over the eyes of others.
You wonder if sometimes someone has an experience and occasionally they do see something that they shouldn't be able to see. But it's not something they can repeat. But when they realize they can get praise, attention, make money from it, they will mix the fake and the real.
Yeah. Do we have there been any verified instances of psychic predictions that have come true, specific enough to get away from just being random? Because, you know, in the last 20 years or so, I've read the odd piece that may state that, yes, this person claimed to have foresaw 9/11 or Kennedy being shot or John Lennon, whatever. They never seem to be able to provide proof that, you know, they publicly told other people long before the event. It's after the event, they say. So I'm not aware of anyone who's come close to proving that. But coming to the synchronicity and meaningful event thing, I wonder how deja vu may tie into this. Now, I know there are various scientific psychological explanations for what deja vu may be, but I've got a very quick personal example. It doesn't prove anything, but to me it went a little bit beyond what normally happens. And that simply is, I went, when I was about 13, I went to visit a friend I'd met up in my hometown, down in his hometown, in a part of Scotland I'd never been before, not even close. And as I got there and exited the train station with him, and he only lived a couple of streets away, so we were on foot, we were about to round a corner, and I suddenly got that classic deja vu feeling. But before I carried on round a corner, I stopped and spoke to my friend, and I said, I'm getting deja vu just now, and I am convinced I know what it looks like round the corner before I got there. So I described to him that there was going to be a house there, like a garage there, and a blue thing, whatever, there. And it was absolutely spot on. If there are any rational explanations for this, that I'm in some way kind of kidding myself, you know, fair enough. Because I've heard that deja vu is sometimes just the brain tricking itself into thinking that you've seen something before. It's kind of putting the cart before the horse psychologically, I suppose. But just for this one time, it seemed like I could stop and actually take my time and say, no, without any possibility of my brain going round the wrong way, I'm going to tell you what I think is round there in a place I've never seen before in my life. I suppose someone could say it was a, you know, photos from a book or something before. But it wasn't a feeling that I'm remembering a photo. It was a feeling of I've rounded this corner before. So, Micah, what do you think about synchronicity, meaningful events, and deja vu? Do you think there's any connection, or one's just a biological kind of pickup?
Again, Dogs, I see that you and I perceive what many would call a psychic experience as being something more similar, at least akin to our own observation and perception of it. The deja vu component is a very interesting thing. And I should say, by the way, when you mentioned that there was a psychological approach to, you know, the idea that the brain can trick itself, if you're in Psychology 101, what you'll learn about is hindsight bias, which is the term that they actually use for this. The idea that essentially neurons or synapses, I guess more appropriately, are firing in such a way that from time to time it creates and confuses the mind into thinking that a actual perceived event had been known prior to actual observation. And this is in psychological terms what hindsight bias means and what they offer as an explanation for deja vu. But there are some historical instances that seem to be a little more indicative of possibly someone and some people having an ability to perceive things that are happening maybe elsewhere in the world, but that far enough removed from where they are that they shouldn't have been able to know this. A notable example from history is Emanuel Swedenborg, a guy who, of course, is very interesting in all different kinds of realms of thought with regard to the unexplained, supernatural, and whatnot. Swedenborg purportedly was at a dinner one evening when he said that he saw a fire breaking out and it was beginning to consume a block of houses. And he had accurately predicted a fire, I believe, that almost consumed his home, but that was put out prior to the actual fire reaching that residence. So that's an interesting story. And again, that was purportedly documented that he had at a dinner miles away suddenly stopped during this dinner and had described what was happening, but said, no need to be concerned. The fire hasn't reached my home. If I'm remembering that correctly, and folks can look that up online, there's information about it elsewhere. No doubt if we were to complete a survey of parapsychological experiences, there probably would have been meaningful coincidences, deja vu, and other recognition of strange happenings along the lines of what we might call precognition that can be defined. But, you know, a point that I think, again, philosophically and also in terms of kind of the politics of all this that I think has to be made. Guys, more often than not, when you see skeptics who are saying that there's no evidence, they will say that, but they, 9 times out of 10, I find, have not actually taken time to read the literature about the subject that they are claiming does not exist or could not happen. Something that you find that's interesting among what I would call maybe the three of us and others, you know, in this community who are maybe 50, 60, 70% skeptical but still have an open mind about this phenomena, open-minded enough to at least examine it and allow it some possibilities. I find that people like us will read skeptical literature. You know, I, in fact, many would cringe, but I own the Skeptics Dictionary. You know, I've read Psycop, you know, publications over the years, Skeptical Inquirer. I follow what the skeptics have to say because I find that they present a meaningful argument. I also read the Fortean literature, the parapsychological literature. I get it from both, and it allows one the ability to contrast and compare. I don't want to make a general statement, but often when I've spoken to many skeptics, they will make the case against, but they have not actually read the literature that might support the idea that indeed, for instance, with precognition, maybe there is a rich history of people who have made these claims. It's just, it's anecdotal history. And again, if it doesn't satisfy the mind of the physics professor or the biologist or the geologist, it's not going to be something that scientifically can be replicated and accounted for.
We have Micah Hanks. Our guest co-host this week is Gogs Mackay. This is, you're here with a great crew of people, and Chris O'Brien, of course, is on special assignment with a problem with Skype. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Chris O'Brien's on special assignment somewhere in New York and New Jersey, and a Skype that doesn't work. It's Microsoft's fault that it can't be here. It's not Apple's fault, it's Microsoft's fault. Every time things go wrong, they think it's really Apple, but it's not. We have Micah Hanks. We have our guest co-host, Gogs Mackay, one of the members of our forums at forum.theparacast.com. But right now we're talking about a variety of subjects, the paranormal merger of different phenomena and whether it all stems from the same source, also talking about synchronicity. But the other thing, of course, is that when it comes to recognition of strange events, you'll find that people may be willing to accept the possibility of UFOs. But as soon as you get into anything that goes beyond that, ghosts, poltergeist phenomena, even Bigfoot, they can't accept it.
Yeah, I understand. And I suppose for people who don't generally accept anything paranormal, but maybe leave a little bit open of themselves to the possibility to UFOs, I suppose you could explain that by, well, if UFOs are solid, you know, nuts and bolts craft and they're coming from another planet, kind of there isn't actually anything paranormal there in that it can be explained if you know it to be the truth, kind of. But the other things in paranormal, ghosts, that's such a non-physical thing. I suppose some people would have some difficulty with that. But it's kind of funny that you get people who say they don't believe in ghosts, but they're maybe Christians. And I often say the Bible is one of the most paranormal books out there. One thing that's interesting, I suppose, about the whole subject is since the earliest writing ever on clay tablets, whatever, cylinder seals, people have been talking about ghosts. So it's definitely not a new thing. And you've got to wonder that you know, before there was ever any influence of Hollywood, of literature, comics, whatever, that people were claiming to see spirits of dead people, or at least non-physical beings. And without any kind of cultural contamination, where does this come from? You've obviously got passed on from people, but initially, where did it come from? So I believe I've seen an apparition, and I saw it with one other person, but I'm completely open to the idea that I got it all wrong. But another thing is, I suppose that some people want definitely to believe in spirits and ghosts, because once you get to the point in life where you've, as we all do, you've lost people that you love, it's nice and comforting to think that after bodily death, the consciousness may continue in another form. So sometimes I think, a bit like how religion can be a bit of a crutch for explaining and putting in a box all the questions about the universe, life after death, the meaning of life, all that, kind of a, I suppose ghosts are a bit like a crutch like that as well, because if you allow yourself to believe in ghosts, then you're allowing yourself to believe that this lifetime and after death might not be everything.
Goggs, I have to say I completely agree, by the way. The sad thing is that while you're absolutely right, many people look at that perception and they say, and see, this is why people believe in ghosts, because they don't even realize that they're doing it. They merely want to believe that there's an afterlife. And hence, although they're perceived as something culturally that's supposed to be frightening, in truth, ghosts are the greatest comfort for those of us who hope that there is life after death and that our loved ones are okay on the other side. To me, while it can be used as an argument against ghosts in terms of the way that people orient themselves in terms of belief, does little to address, again, the consistency of the narrative about ghosts and hauntings in multiple cultures worldwide since time immemorial. And furthermore, I think that when we look at the way that the belief element there influences perception of the phenomenon, it brings us back to the fact that, as I have said time and time again, and I've had many more wise individuals express to me, what we need to do and what may even be requisite in terms of understanding the various phenomena around us is, rather than seeking to explain them away in terms of psychology, we need to acknowledge the psychological tendencies toward belief that we use to orient ourselves in relation to these phenomena, either in terms of, you know, what we believe about them spiritually, religiously, or otherwise, or the belief that they simply could not exist because they don't conform to modern scientific jurisdictions, at least in terms of what we have counted for thusly and thus far. What's really important is that we have to kind of unlearn what we think we know about various phenomena. Is a ghost what we have culturally and historically and traditionally perceived it as being, a spirit of a dead person? Maybe not. Is a UFO an alien spacecraft from another planet? Maybe not. And this is where it gets really interesting, is when you apply the same logic to what we might call, you know, cryptozoological creatures and things, Bigfoot, I think, being the most popular example. People will often, I find, make the case that a creature like Bigfoot simply could not exist, whereas, again, we're talking about something that is so much like a human being, and yet human beings populate the entire planet. So really, what about a Bigfoot could not exist? What we cannot account for, and what I think presents the breakdown in the minds of many of the skeptical ilk, is that for a Bigfoot to exist, even though it is so much like us and we know that we exist, this creature could not possibly exist without being seen. And again, it's funny that people will say, how could this creature exist if nobody ever sees it? In fact, there are numerous, probably too many to count, anecdotal references to reports that occur every year in virtually every state in North America, or in the United States, and then all, of course, you know, Canada and other parts of North America, but not just in North America, but literally all around the world. At times throughout history, we have seen time and time again, whether it be Neanderthal and, of course, what were once referred to as Cro-Magnon, you know, Paranthropus, Meganthropus, different varieties of hominids, our ancient ancestors existed in different parts of the world, but at the same time, in conjunction with one another at different periods throughout history. Could it not be the case that something like that is happening right here, right now, today? Again, nothing about the existence of a Bigfoot, to me, seems too far removed from the possible. It's just the way that I think people try to orient their minds around belief in these kinds of things. And so really, if we want to understand unexplained phenomena, we can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Some of this stuff may be imaginary, and we have to accept that distinct possibility, maybe even that likelihood. But learning to orient ourselves differently in relation to how we perceive the phenomenon, learning to think differently about it, I think that's going to be the key to understanding it.
Well, I think the big problem we always see in this is that we are so inclined to want to view this stuff in accordance with whatever our experience is or what our cultural experience is. So if we see movies and TV shows about people seeing ghosts and their spirits of the dead, then we kind of accept that because we're seeing the same phenomenon. Oh, it's that. Or if we see that UFOs are really spaceships because that's what the media tells us, that's what we expect because it seems that we have aircraft one step removed from what we have. Well, therefore, it comes from Alpha Centauri, the third planet of the system or something like that. So we're being conditioned to believe in things that may actually not be the case, even though there's an existing phenomenon.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I think that a problem that a lot of people have with this sort of discussion is that while we're getting very philosophical here, gents, and we can talk about the fact that, well, you know, maybe what we need to do to be able to study this phenomena is to think differently about it. Maybe it's this, or maybe it's that, or maybe it has this kind of relationship with us and with consciousness in general. People, while I think this is important to discuss, I think that from time to time people can tend to get bored with it because they say, but you know what, at the end of the day, we still want proof. We want good evidence. We want examples. And again, I think that if you're talking about UFOs, look at not the Rendlesham Forest incident, but remember what happened there at RAF Bentwaters back in the 1950s. There was an RAF Bentwaters incident that was with regard to radar that occurred in the 1950s, was there not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that, I wanted to clarify that because people are going to look at that.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So referring to the earlier incident that had radar traces, that incident, again, was one that the Condon Committee in the late 1960s, which, again, you know, predated the famous Rendlesham incident by a number of years. The Condon Committee, the University of Colorado UFO Project, listed this among one of their unexplainables. Now, again, they didn't say that that was evidence of extraterrestrials. They simply said that this was an incident that could not be explained, but that seemed to be represented by some sort of a tangible physical phenomenon. When we talk about Bigfoot, again, you know, many people talk about the Patterson-Gimlin film and say that they think it's a hoax. I know that Cal Korf and Greg Long wrote this book about that a number of years ago, where even certain facts in the skeptical narrative didn't match with one another. You know, one had been that I think that Roger Patterson had put the suit together himself from horse hide. Bob Hieronymus, the man who wore it, confused with Bob Hieronymus, the radio show today, but the retired Pepsi-Cola bottler from Yakima, Washington, he had said that he wore it, it was horse hide, and that it stunk. But then there was a guy named Philip Morris from right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm actually in Asheville up the roadways, but Philip Morris says that he actually supplied the suit to Patterson. And so from time to time, the skeptical narrative also doesn't necessarily completely fit the narrative that is purportedly being appended to this story. I still look at the Patterson-Gimlin film and say this is a possible.
We'll talk about more possibilities in a moment. We have Micah Hanks, guest co-host Gogs McKay. You're in
the Paracast.
Without a cast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
This winter, next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel can be safely stored with your other supplies for many years and works in any gas-powered vehicle or backup generator. With the bitterly cold temperatures predicted for this winter, now is the best time to stock up on Spare Fuel. So, go to GetSpareFuel.com. That's GetSpareFuel.com. GetSpareFuel.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials.
commercial.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do.
When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.